Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Well, this weekend, as Donald Trump's criminal defense lawyers watched helplessly, their client, in another act of breathtaking legal stupidity, confessed. Again. This time, Donald Trump's new criminal confession will be of extreme interest to the federal prosecutors who have convened a grand jury in Washington, D.C., investigating Donald Trump's intent on January 6th. This weekend, Donald Trump issued a written statement, no doubt without consulting his defense lawyers, saying a massive fraud of this type and magnitude allows for the termination of all rules, regulations, and articles, even those found in the Constitution. No president of the United States has ever advocated terminating the Constitution. No former president of the United States has ever advocated terminating the Constitution. No losing presidential candidate representing a major party has ever advocated terminating the Constitution. And here is what Donald Trump thinks should happen after the Constitution is terminated. Quote, throw the presidential election results of 2020 out and declare the rightful winner. That is exactly what Donald Trump was trying to do on January 6th. Donald Trump is now the subject of a federal criminal investigation in Washington, D.C. in a grand jury about what he was trying to do leading up to and on January 6th. Last week, a federal judge ordered Donald Trump's White House counsel and deputy White House counsel to testify under oath about what they know Donald Trump was trying to do on January 6th. And on Friday, those two witnesses showed up to testify under oath to the grand jury at the courthouse in Washington. That was on Friday. And the very next day, Donald Trump advocates the termination of the Constitution. If Donald Trump's activities leading up to January 6th and on January 6th result in Donald Trump being indicted in the investigation now being run by Special Prosecutor Jack Smith, Donald Trump could save himself if he could testify convincingly under oath in the trial of those charges. But if Donald Trump were to take the witness stand in his own defense in such a trial, on cross-examination, Jack Smith would now be able to ask this question, knowing the answer. Question, Mr. Trump, have you ever advocated the termination of the Constitution? On January 6th, Donald Trump was publicly arguing that a massive fraud delivered the presidency to Joe Biden. And what Donald Trump said this weekend that justifies terminating the Constitution is a massive fraud of this type and magnitude allows for the termination of all rules, regulations, and articles, even those found in the Constitution. Now, it would be fair for a criminal jury, trial jury, to infer that that is not a new thought that first occurred to Donald Trump this weekend. There is no new massive fraud that Donald Trump was referring to. What he was actually referring to were photographs of Hunter Biden naked, taken at the worst depths of Hunter Biden's admitted struggles with drug addiction that nearly took his life. Seriously, that is what provoked Donald Trump's statement. The new owner of Twitter released some and just some of what was apparently Twitter's internal correspondence about whether they should allow postings of naked pictures of Hunter Biden toward the end of the presidential campaign in 2020. It is against Twitter's own rules to post naked pictures without the consent of the person in the photograph. The Biden campaign asked Twitter to follow their own rules and not post those photographs, and Twitter followed its own rules. Didn't post the photographs. Twitter also chose at the time not to allow any posts linking to a New York Post story about what the New York Post said were the contents of a laptop that Hunter Biden apparently left at a repair shop in Delaware. Nothing incriminating to or about Joe Biden in any way has ever been reported as part of the alleged contents of that laptop. And so what Donald Trump was saying this weekend is that Twitter's failure to publish naked pictures of Hunter Biden, quote, allows for the termination of all rules, regulations, and articles, even those found in the Constitution. Donald Trump was suggesting that if voters could have just seen naked pictures of Joe Biden's son, they never would have voted for Joe Biden for president. As soon as Donald Trump made that public statement this weekend, I tweeted the question that I just told you a prosecutor could ask Donald Trump about advocating termination of the Constitution. Many others offered their own versions of that kind of question on Twitter. And soon enough, Donald Trump realized just how incriminating that statement actually is. And so today, 2 days later, Donald Trump tried to fix the unfixable with a new written statement. The fake news is actually trying to convince the American people that I said I wanted to terminate the Constitution. What I said was that when there is massive and widespread fraud and deception, as has been irrefutably proven in the 2020 presidential election, steps must be immediately taken to right the wrong. Only fools would disagree with that and accept stolen elections. Only a fool would say a massive fraud of this type and magnitude allows for the termination of all rules, regulations, and articles, even those found in the Constitution. Leading off our discussion tonight are Andrew Weissman, former FBI general counsel and the former chief of the criminal division in the Eastern District of New York. He's a professor of practice at NYU School of Law and an MSNBC legal analyst. Also with us, New York representative-elect Daniel Goldman. He's a former House counsel for the impeachment of Donald Trump and a former assistant U.S. attorney for the Southern District of New York. Congressman-elect Goldman, there are moments when prosecutors come upon the gold. They come upon the nugget. They come upon the key that unlocks other mysteries within the investigation. Those are historically seldom found. On Twitter or in public written statements by people. What is your reaction to Donald Trump saying, I want to give you your reaction as a congressman-elect, and then secondly, your reaction as a prosecutor to this former president, this criminal suspect, and suspected of this particular criminal intent, saying that he's advocating termination of the Constitution?
Well, look, as an elected representative, one of the things and that immediately struck me is that Donald Trump is not alone and isolated on his social media platform. He remains the leader of the Republican Party, and the vast majority of the Republicans in the House of Representatives still pay fealty to him. And so we are really left, Republicans especially, are left with a very simple question. Do you believe in democracy or do you believe in Donald Trump? There is no other way around it. We've certainly been saying this in many variations over the last several years, but he put it so starkly in that social media post. From a legal perspective, and you know, you make the right point, Lawrence, which, you know, and Andrew and I know, we're taught that you don't look for the smoking gun. It so rarely happens. Donald Trump probably has made more admissions against his own interest than any potential defendant, I ever had combined in my 10 years as a prosecutor. You know, the question becomes, is this admissible? Is it not? Which is, you know, a debate for another day, but it just reflects his complete disdain for the law, for the rule of law, for our constitutional structure. And at this point, if he continues to be the leader of the party, it is leading that Republican Party toward a path of destruction, or our country will be destroyed.
Andrew Weissman, there is a question of admissibility here, which is why I put it in terms of Donald Trump taking the witness stand in his own defense in a potential January 6th prosecution. Once he's on the witness stand in his own defense, cross-examination has a significant latitude, and it seems to me that it wouldn't be that hard to go down a road that could lead to the admissible question, have you ever advocated terminating the Constitution?
Well, sure. I mean, to me, this is something that the government's going to argue, I think, pretty forcefully, that this is going to come in as an admission. That is, when you're a defendant, your prior statements, if they are relevant and probative of something, they come in to evidence as an admission, even if you never take the stand. But certainly, Lawrence, if you do take the stand, you can be cross-examined on your prior statements. And here you really are going to be arguing, as Dan pointed out, this is somebody who is lawless. What is going on is, as the facts and law are creeping together and holding him to account, you see people like Donald Trump, Rudy Giuliani, Sidney Powell, all sort of scurrying around trying to say either the law is wrong or the facts don't matter or the facts are not what you say they are. But it's just, you really feel like this noose tightening as you see each of them being held to account. And I would say finally being held to account. And I think this statement, frankly, it's only got worse when Donald Trump tried to then whitewash it. I mean, both of those things come in. In other words, exactly what you did, Lawrence, would be played out in court to say this is really damning evidence. And he knows it because he then tried to deny that he said it.
And Daniel Goldman, presumably, if when this comes out in the trial like that, if a trial like that were to occur, the Trump defense would try to argue, no. He said that in December of 2022. He said that, you know, almost 2 years after January 6th. So it can't have any possible relevance to January 6th.
Donald Trump is a walking false inculpatory. Which is a fairly complicated legal doctrine, but essentially says that if you intentionally make false statements to conceal your own guilt, it can, in some circumstances, be admitted in furtherance, you know, of your own guilt. But we've seen this all the time. I mean, even on January 6th, Lawrence, he clearly incited the crowd, which we now know from the January 6th committee that he knew was armed and dangerous. And he roused them and incited them to go to the Capitol and march on the Capitol. But he also said, we're going to go peacefully. He threw that in there one time. And so now, as we've heard over and over and over, he refers to that one statement as an indication of what he really truly meant, not everything else that is there. And Andrew and I have both prosecuted mob bosses, and this is the type of behavior that you see out of the mob, where they're trying to cover their own tracks, so they will slip in these false exculpatories. And that's really, you know, Donald Trump's MO here. So, you know, we're getting into a lot of technical legalese about evidence and what would come in and what wouldn't. I think the bigger and broader point here is we're also seeing Donald Trump dissemble. He is getting more and more extreme and unhinged. And we always think there's a bottom, but I think what is really clear is there is no bottom with Donald Trump. He will burn the whole country down in his effort to overtake the presidency and install himself into power. And it really is incumbent upon every Republican in elected office to stand up to that, and every Republican around the country to vote in a primary for some sort of a candidate who is loyal to the Constitution, not to their own personal interests.
Andrew Weissman, it sounds like you're saying in the theoretical trial that, that could result with Donald Trump being a defendant involving charges on January 6th, that that saying that he wants to terminate the Constitution on one day and 2 days later publicly saying he did not say that makes it even worse that he said it the first time, because it seems to that 2 days later he seems to realize how incriminating the statement is.
Absolutely. This is it's classic sort of obstruction evidence. You know, when I was a prosecutor, what you looked for is, was there a document that somebody tried to hide or destroy and rip up? Because, and then if you found it, you would say, here's the document that the defendant knew was so damning, he just tried to destroy it so that you would never see it. Now let's talk about what's in that document and why he never wanted you to see it. That's what you would do here. And as Dan said, I mean, this is, there's an abundance of statements. I mean, this is an unusual case where, because Donald Trump is playing to a different audience than a jury, you have so many statements that, I mean, this really is not going to be about the facts and the law. This is really going to be a fight, I think, as Dan correctly said, for sort of the soul of the country, because the facts and the law are going to be clear, and you're going to see Donald Trump continue to engage in an onslaught, not just on prosecutors and the media, but on the court system itself, as he's increasingly held to account.
Andrew Weissman and Congressman-elect Dan Goldman, thank you both very much for examining this fascinating new piece of evidence from Donald Trump, this confession. Thank you very much for starting us off tonight.
Thanks, Lawrence.
And coming up on the eve of Georgia's Senate Election Day, we will be joined by one of the Democratic Senate majority makers, Senator Mark Kelly, who had his election certified today despite the efforts of election liars in Arizona. Arizona Senator Mark Kelly joins us next. Today, Arizona officially certified its election results after some election-denying officials in one Republican county were given a court order to certify the election results. That's what it's come to. Next year, Democrats will hold the governorship, Secretary of State office, and both U.S. Senate seats for the first time in over 70 years in Arizona. Senator Mark Kelly's re-election in Arizona helped the Democrats preserve their current count of 50 seats in the United States Senate. And tomorrow's Senate election in Georgia could give the Democrats 51 senators. Here's what President Obama said about that while he was campaigning for the re-election of Senator Raphael Warnock in Georgia.
An extra senator gives Democrats more breathing room on important bills. It prevents one person from holding up everything. And it also puts us in a better position a couple years from now when you've got another election, but the Senate map is going to be tilted in the favor of Republicans. And it'll help prevent Republicans from getting a filibuster-proof majority that could allow them to do things like passing a federal abortion ban.
Joining us now is Democratic Senator Mark Kelly of Arizona. Senator, thank you very much for joining us. You joined us during the campaign, and it's a pleasure to welcome you back tonight as a winner in the winner's circle. What does it mean for Arizona that Democrats now dominate statewide elective office there?
Well, hey, Lawrence, thank you for having me on again. It is nice to be after the election. We have the election in Georgia. I'll finish that up tomorrow. I've got a lot of confidence that Senator Warnock is going to win this election. It's important that he does for some other reasons, too, and I hope we can talk about that. You know, in Arizona, you know, elections are about choices, and whether it's our future governor, you know, Katie Hobbs, or the Secretary of State's race, or one you didn't mention, the Attorney General's race. Mm-hmm. It's very clear that Arizonans wanted hard workers, they wanted competence, and they wanted to move away from stuff that just isn't important for our state, you know, denying the 2020 election. They want folks that are focused on solving the problems that we face as a state and as a country. And that's what I've done over the last 2 years.
You have been working in a 50-50 Senate, which I have to say, having worked in the Senate myself, is just unimaginable to me. It's just I just don't know how you guys have gotten through it. You're hoping for 51. You might get to 51 tomorrow night. What difference would 51 make?
Well, Lawrence, let me also say it's been 50-50 for 2 years, but that's fine. I think the Senate works best when we're willing and able to work across the aisle, Republicans and Democrats working together to get stuff done. And we did that on veterans health care, on infrastructure, on postal reform, on the CHIPS Act. I mean, really important pieces of legislation that moves the country forward. Tomorrow, we've got this election in Georgia. Let me tell you why I think this is really important. And it's not just about numbers. I mean, I got here with Senator Warnock. I've worked with him for 2 years. He's been a public servant most of his adult life serving the state of Georgia. You know, he's smart. He's capable. He's delivered for the state of Georgia and this country. That's what we need in the United States Senate. So I look forward to serving another 6 years with him after the election tomorrow.
Over the weekend, we saw that the last Republican president, Donald Trump, has called for termination of the Constitution. I want to take a look at what one Republican member of the House, David Joyce, said to George Stephanopoulos about this.
You'd support a candidate who's come out for suspending the Constitution?
Well, you know, he says a lot of things. You have to take him in context.
Senator, we have some Republicans saying they disagree with Donald Trump's advocating terminating the Constitution. But when you ask them, if Donald Trump is the Republican nominee for president, will you vote for him? They're still with him.
Well, they shouldn't be. I mean, we should not have somebody in the highest office that does not believe in the Constitution and thinks it should be suspended so he could be appointed. But we've seen stuff like this before. And I think in this election here in 2022, the American people made decisions across the country that doesn't work for them. And what the American people want and what they'll get in races in Arizona, and I'm pretty confident in Georgia tomorrow, are individuals that believe in the Constitution, believe in our country, want a better future for everybody. And folks that are just willing to work hard, put the divisiveness aside, and just do what's in the best interest of all of us. And, you know, that's, you know, to me, that's just more of the same. It's more noise, and it has been resoundingly rejected by the American people.
It's hard to think of a less qualified Senate candidate than Donald Trump's candidate in Georgia, Herschel Walker. Is it your sense that voters are in races like this are not necessarily just voting for the Democrat, but they are actively voting against this Republican choice?
Well, I think it's different things for different people. I mean, I know in my race in Arizona, I had wide support by Republicans. Republican mayors and county supervisors, business leaders, law enforcement, who, you know, would come up to me frequently, but also endorsed me, Republican mayors, because, you know, they're tired of what they've seen over the last, 6 years now. And they just want to get things done, and they want, you know, they just want the noise to be, you know, in the past, and they want folks that'll focus on the future. I know Reverend Warnock will do that. He's done it for 2 years. He's smart. He's competent. And I'm looking forward to, seeing him when he gets back up here later this week.
Senator Mark Kelly, thank you very much for joining us again tonight.
Anytime, Lawrence. Thank you for having me on.
Thank you. Coming up, the chair of the Georgia Democratic Party, Congresswoman Nikema Williams, will join us on the night before Georgia's big election day. That's next.
From Freakonomics Radio, a new series about a role model we didn't know we needed.
So many crazy things really did happen to him
The physicist Richard Feynman was one of the most brilliant scientists of his generation, but he was also a troublemaker, an obsessive, and a man who spoke truth to power. Along the way, he created a blueprint for how to lead a life of honest inquiry.
He was a brilliant theoretical physicist, but what really made him stand out was his humanity.
The curious, brilliant, vanishing Mr. Feynman on Freakonomics Radio.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Earlier this evening, Georgia Senator Raphael Warnock, in a discussion with Joy Reid right here on MSNBC, said this about his Republican campaign opponent, Herschel Walker, who has Donald Trump's full support.
Here's what we know. We know that he is unprepared. We know he's unqualified. And it gives me no pleasure to say this, but as a preacher, I'm in the business of truth-telling. He's unfit to represent the people of Georgia in the United States Senate. And we've seen that time and time again. I do think it's disgraceful for someone who's running for public office to be unwilling to tell us the truth about the basic facts of their life, telling us lies that are easily disputable. Like, we all know that Herschel Walker is not a police officer.
I mean, he had a badge.
And yeah, well, he wears his lies as a badge of honor, literally. But we know he's not a police officer. And I think that tomorrow night, the people of Georgia are going to stand up and say, we know he's not a U.S. senator also. This race is not even about Republican versus Democrat, red versus blue, right versus left. It's right versus wrong. And I think people see that.
Joining us now is Democratic Congresswoman Nikema Williams of Georgia. She is the chair of the Georgia Democratic Party. Thank you very much for joining us on this very important night for you. Herschel Walker seems to be the issue here as we close this campaign. The Warnock campaign has focused on his unsuitability, as they argue it. And on the Republican side, there's no policies. There's just Herschel Walker.
I mean, it's true, Lawrence. If you just look at the two candidates, Georgians understand that there is only one candidate in this race that has the competence and character ready to lead us for 6 years in the U.S. Senate, and that is Reverend Raphael Warnock. I mean, think about the pattern of lies and the bizarre statements and everything that Herschel Walker has put on display throughout this campaign trail. That's why we're seeing the early voting numbers that we've had, because Georgia voters understand what's at stake and they are turning out because they understand that we have a real choice on the ballot tomorrow and we need to send our senator back to Washington fighting for us.
Herschel Walker was on Fox tonight with Sean Hannity and another guy. I just want to put that image up on the screen here. We don't have to hear what they were saying because it isn't worth listening to. But there's Lindsey Graham right beside Herschel Walker during that interview the entire time, because apparently the Republicans don't believe Herschel Walker can do that kind of appearance alone. Are Georgia voters insulted by that kind of presentation of a candidate to them?
Georgia voters have been paying attention this entire election cycle. And I think that's why we've seen over 75,000 voters who didn't even vote in the general election have already turned out to vote early in this runoff election, because we've seen everything on full display from Herschel Walker and have taken notice. And Georgians are showing up to make sure that we send Reverend Warnock back to the U.S. Senate, because we need someone who can do the work and really understand the job. being in the U.S. Senate is a big job, Lawrence. You understand this. And there's only one candidate in this race who is ready. And that's why we're turning out in force. So I cannot wait to watch the numbers come in tomorrow night as we celebrate sending our senator back, fighting for all Georgians. This isn't, Reverend Warnock just said in the clip before, this isn't about Democrat or Republican. This is about someone who is fit to serve in the body of the United States Senate. And Senator Warnock has proven that he is ready.
Let's listen to more of what Senator Warnock had to say to Joy Reid tonight.
It is a special thing for the people of your state to say, when we think about our lives, when we look into the eyes of our children and imagine the future that we want for them. When we think about our aging parents and the burdens that come with the blessing of aging, since we can't all go to Washington, we trust you to go to Washington and to be thinking about us and thinking about our families. For me, that's a sacred trust. It's something I take very seriously, and the people of Georgia deserve a serious candidate.
As the chair of the party, what are the key returns you're going to be looking for tonight? You've got your own, Steve Kornacki's going to be giving us his view here, but where do you look? What are the returns? What's the precinct? What's the district that you're looking for votes in to tell you what's going to happen?
Lawrence, I represent the seat that was once held by the late Congressman John Lewis, and we call it the Fighting Fifth in Georgia. And so I am watching the numbers come in Fulton, DeKalb, and Clayton counties, because we know that we have done the work. Our voters are turning out. If they have not already voted, if you're listening tonight, the polls are open tomorrow from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. Go and make your voices heard, y'all, because we still have 12 hours left in this election. So we got to finish the job, Lawrence. I'm watching the Fighting Fifth, and we're going to turn out and bring it home.
The chair of the Georgia Democratic Party, Congresswoman Nikema Williams, thank you very much for joining us on this important night.
Thank you, Lawrence.
Thank you. Coming up, according to one government official in Iran, the morality police there have been disbanded after months of protests over the death of a 22-year-old woman in the custody of the morality police for the crime, they said, of not wearing her headscarf properly. That's next.
From Freakonomics Radio, a new series about a role model we didn't know we needed.
So many crazy things really did happen to him.
The physicist Richard Feynman was one of the most brilliant scientists of his generation, but he was also a troublemaker, an obsessive, and a man who spoke truth to power. Along the way, he created a blueprint for how to lead a life of honest inquiry.
He was a brilliant theoretical physicist, but what really made him stand out was his humanity.
The curious, brilliant, vanishing Mr. Feynman on Freakonomics Radio.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Since September 16th, when 22-year-old Mahsa Amini was killed in the custody of Iran's morality police because she did not properly wear her headscarf, according to them, more than 470 protesters have been killed in Iran and more than 18,000 have been detained, according to human rights activists in Iran. Today, a spokesman for Iran's Ministry of Islamic Culture and Guidance said that the morality police have been disbanded. The news has not been confirmed by any other government officials, including officials with direct control over the morality police. Today, a U.S. State Department official said, quote, "We have seen the reports, but will not comment on ambiguous or vague claims by Iranian officials. Sadly, nothing we have seen suggests Iran's leadership is improving its treatment of women and girls or ceasing the violence it inflicts on peaceful protesters." Joining us now once again is Mahsa Ahmadinejad. She is an Iranian-American journalist. Thank you very much for joining us. Really appreciate it. What do we know about the morality police? Have they been disbanded?
Not at all. To be honest, we Iranians were shocked that we saw this headline is going around everywhere around the world, that the morality police has been abolished the day that Iranian regime actually shut down one park just because one of the employee was unveiled. You know, let me be very clear with you. This was a big lie, but at the same time, Iranian regime knows that when they are in crisis, how to use propaganda tactic to change the narrative around the world. And within the society, there was 3 days of call for action for nationwide strikes. And that's why they were trying to calm down the protesters. This is not going to happen because compulsory hijab is, I mean, according to the law, if women don't wear hijab, they won't be able to get any education. They won't be able to get a job. So this was part of the propaganda move by the Islamic Republic.
You have said from the start that this protest quickly became bigger than the issue of the hijab and that it is actually about the regime itself.
Exactly. I mean, that's why we got shocked when we saw that New York Times title was like the victory for Iranians. I was like, what kind of journalism is that? Why you don't do any research about it? There was no single slogan about Iranian people like asking for morality police to be abolished, or there is no single slogan in the streets that you hear like people saying that we want to get rid of compulsory hijab laws. Clearly, the protests started because of the brutal death of Mahsa Amini, 20-year-old woman in morality police custody. But immediately, people were loud and clear enough to say that we want an end for the Islamic Republic. We want to get rid of the clerical regime. And you know what happened? In 2 months, Iranian regime killed more than 500 people, arrested 18,000 peaceful protesters, and the members of the parliament actually signed a letter to the judiciary system to execute some of these protesters. Then how come such a regime come up with the idea saying that we want to get rid of morality police? No, this is clear that when the dictators are shaken, when the dictators are in crisis, then they use propaganda tool to spread disinformation around the world. This is what Putin has been doing, what the dictator of China has been doing. This is what Maduro has been doing. And Khamenei's gang of killers are good to use international media to spread disinformation and fake news.
Well, that's why we needed you here to clarify exactly these points. Mashia Ali Najad, thank you very much for joining us once again tonight.
I really appreciate for giving me time to clarify this fake news. I really appreciate that. Thank you.
We really needed it. Thank you very much. Tonight's Last Word is next. Time for Tonight's Last Word.
My name is Faith Namanguyo. I'm 14 years old and I'm in Form 2. My favorite subject is history. I like history because I want to be a lawyer.
Faith is in her second year of high school in Malawi, thanks entirely to you and your contributions to the Kind Fund, which supplies desks to schools in Malawi and scholarships for girls to attend high school in Malawi, where public high school is not free. Faith lives with her grandparents, and her family cannot afford the school fees because her father died when she was in the fourth grade.
What bothers me most is that I lost my father. That she couldn't do the things that a dad could do for a daughter. Because if my father was alive, at least she could help in paying for my school fees. Yeah. And it hurts more now that I know that my future is going to be bright. So what about Father's Day? Maybe in future I could have like bought something for my father. And now I just can't. Because he's actually normal. So that actually pains a lot, very much.
Now I know that my future is going to be bright So what about Father's Day? Maybe in the future, I would have bought something for my father. Faith thinks about the past and her lost father, even as she thinks about her bright future. Faith feels that her future is going to be bright because now she knows that she is going to be able to finish high school because the Kind Fund has provided Faith with a scholarship that covers tuition and room and board, as well as school uniforms and other clothes, books, notebooks, pens, pencils, soap, shampoo, toothpaste, sanitary supplies for her menstrual periods, all the things that she could not afford before and would not have without this scholarship. Before Faith got a scholarship, she was afraid of trying to make friends at the beginning of high school.
At first, I was afraid to associate with others because I didn't have what they had. I didn't have, like, exercise books. There were a few. And now I can, like, say that I have friends, good friends. I'm not even afraid because I was afraid that maybe they will laugh at me because then I don't have the necessities for my education.
If you can help girls like Faith attend high school, you can contribute any amount at lastworddesks.msnbc.com. You can designate that your contribution is for scholarships or to provide desks in schools where the students have never seen desks. I created the Kind Fund, Kids in Need of Desks, 12 years ago as a partnership between MSNBC and UNICEF. And in that time, you have provided school desks for over 1 million children in Malawi, and you have helped over 25,000 girls attend high school in Malawi. It has been just a week since I mentioned the Kind Fund this year for the first time. And in that week, you have contributed 1,357,777. You can make a contribution in the name of anyone on your holiday gift list, and UNICEF will send them an acknowledgement of your gift. Cynthia Denny tweeted, "In honor of my two adult boys who are now in college, I'm donating to provide desks for kids in Malawi. We are blessed." When we visited her school a few weeks ago, Faith made us a promise.
My promise to the Kind Fund and UNICEF is that I won't let them down. I'll do better, and I'll be a lawyer no matter what to help people to get that justice that they actually deserve.
I will not let them down. I will do better, and I will be a lawyer no matter what to help people get the justice that they deserve. Faith Namanguyo gets tonight's last word.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.